The Boston Celtics are number one. I can't remember a time when a team went into the playoffs as prohibitive a favorite to at least make the finals as this one is. But we know the history of disappointment of this group. Should they get picked off anywhere along the way before getting to the finals, it will be about as significant a disappointment as we have seen in the NBA playoffs in a long time, and that adds up to a lot of pressure on all of their stars.
Mike Greenberg on Get Up. Celtics have the most pressure on them in the NBA playoffs. Does anyone possibly disagree with that?
No.
Like, who would even, I should look at who he had second on his list, who would even be a candidate to have a ton of pressure on themselves?
I want to say it was Doc Rivers was number two.
Okay. That's right. That's right.
So Milwaukee, I would have just done blanket Milwaukee. But like, if you listen to Stephen A. on Damian Lillard or Brian Windhorst today on Giannis, like, the whole thing is about to come apart in Milwaukee. Like, Giannis may want out. Lillard may want out. Ryan's snickering back there. Why are you snickering? Why are you laughing?
I thought they got their great savior. I thought it was Dame time. You can't blow it up if it's Dame time.
See, Ryan, an ant is crawling on your neck.
I got to figure out what I'm rooting for.
They've overtaken me.
I got to figure out what I'm rooting for. Like, how do I want Doc to lose, or do I want Lillard to go on a run to shut Ryan up? I gotta decide what I want. But that's a tough call for me, to be honest. But like,
Dame Lillard versus Jimmy Butler in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, like maybe Milwaukee.
Either way,
that would be a tough one. Yeah, well, no, you know what? He's right. Either way, he could celebrate. Somebody's getting knocked out in the Eastern Conference Final. That's true. Anybody else even close? Milwaukee's fair, I guess.
Clippers, maybe.
Yeah,
they don't have, but they're like a fourth. They're a four seed. So.
Denver has no pressure. OKC and Minnesota, no pressure.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really even think like LeBron and the Lakers or Golden State have any real pressure. I mean, they've won before.
Playing tournament, yeah. And like, that's what sucks the most about this for the Celtics is that they have all the pressure that comes with being, like, you know, the team with the big bullseye on its back, and none of the experience of how to actually break through and win. Like, at least the Bucks, when they had all the pressure on them, it's like, well, we've done this before. You know, the Nuggets are the reigning champions. They might have some pressure, but, like, that all pales in comparison to the pressure the Celtics are feeling, and they still haven't done it yet. So it's like they have all the bad stuff and none of the good stuff when it comes to this.
Yeah, so let me reiterate, and then I want to play a clip from Rick Bucher, and Mego can get into some of these Tatum crunch time stats that are just abysmal. But the Celtics now have the best record in the NBA. They're 64-18, which is great. And I have been guilty of saying this. I think a lot of people have. Well, they're the best team in the league, and they should go win the title. The last six teams prior to the Celtics that had the best record in the NBA did not win the championship. Milwaukee last year, 58 wins out in round one. Phoenix in 2022, Arkan has brought them up before, 64-18, just like the Celtics, out in round two. Who'd they lose to again, Arkan?
They lost to Jalen Brunson and the Dallas Mavericks.
Okay.
And also Luka Doncic.
Yeah, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But Jalen Brunson is what I was looking for there. The Utah Jazz had the best record in 2021. They won 15-2 games out in round two. 2020 and 2019, the Bucks led the league in wins, 56-60 in both of them. They were out in round two and the Eastern Conference Final. The Rockets won 65 games in 2018. They lost in the Western Conference Final. The last team to have the most wins and win a championship, the Warriors. They won 67 games in 2017. They won the NBA Finals the year prior. They had lost 73. Yes?
We have some breaking news.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program.
This is breaking news. Breaking news on WEEI is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today.
I'm scrolling to see who had this first. Scott McLaughlin, who I saw had it first. Jack Edwards has announced that he is retiring.
Holy crap.
Following the 2023-2024 postseason games on Nesson.
So Gorman, which we knew about, Sterling the other day. Vern Lundquist was another one. If you're watching the Masters coverage, Vern Lundquist, and now Jack. And like, look, Jack was never quite my cup of tea as a broadcaster, but he's been doing it for a long, long period of time. And that's a significant, significant shakeup. And if you've been following Jack, listening to these calls, you know, I think you could see this one coming, but that's still surprising. I was not ready. When you said breaking news and you said it was Bruins, I was like, oh, they're sitting everybody tonight or something like that. I didn't expect that.
Jack has made a statement. It says, I am no longer able to attain the standards I set for myself to honor the fans, the players, the Bruins organization, and Nesson with the best that they all deserve.
Well, that's quite sad.
No, it is.
It is sad.
So who's getting that gig?
Good question.
Like, we knew the Gorman thing was foreshadowed. I have no idea what's going on in New York. CBS has like a litany of Syracuse bots they can plug in. Like, who would be getting that gig? I have no idea.
Judd, maybe? I mean, I don't know. Well, I mean, just saying, like, what happens? They move up the radio. They move up the radio guy to TV. Sure, that happens a lot. You know?
Yep. Nope, it does.
Still, should elevate Bridget.
Still doing. You know, interesting. Okay, but no, I mean, look, I will say this, and again, like, Jack, some calls weren't always for me, but that's a lot of change that, you know, Boston sports fans are going. How long has Jack Edwards been calling games for the Bruins now? Back to mid 2000? Like, when did he start? Like, full on doing the gig? Him and Dale split it for a while. Gorman on top of that. You know, never mind some of the national.
05, 06.
Yeah,
is when he started.
So there you go. So I mean, you're talking about a
he
long
did road
time.
Games, Dale did home games. Yeah.
So that's a significant change.
I think it's just like really too bad that, you know, he doesn't seem to be able to be going out on his own terms, because we've all witnessed the struggle that he's going through, and the Globe had a piece on it where he was talking about trying to diagnose whatever it is that he's dealing with and the exercises that he's been doing, like. I think that's just really tough.
No, it is. And, you know, he claims, you know, there's no real
diagnosis.
Yeah, there's no diagnosis.
Yeah,
there's no, like,
great,
real side effects going on to this beyond just that, you know, the speech, is, as he said, is not up to his standards. And so that is not what I expected you to say. When you said breaking news, I didn't know what team we were talking about. When you said Bruins, I assumed it was, like, related to their lineup tonight. And I was about to mock us for playing breaking news. But, no, that's breaking news worthy. And interesting. Okay, so Jack Edwards will be done after what, round one? Is that when Nesson loses their broadcast? So he'll be doing their first round playoff series. That'd be a bad double whammy there if they lose to, you know, Tampa or something like that, and then Jack is out. That'd be a bad double whammy.
Yeah, that's tough. I really do feel bad for him. That's just a rough way to go out, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, good career. I mean, listen, he's been he was with ESPN as an anchor on SportsCenter before that. He's been around a long time.
The first thing I really remember Jack Edwards doing, I believe, is a World Cup. I think he did the Japan and South Korea World Cup, if I remember. He was on the Team USA calls for that, or, you know, he was like the ESPN lead broadcaster or ABC or whatever that was. I mean, I kind of vaguely remember him from SportsCenter, but that's the first time I was in high school that like really registered. I think he was their lead voice on a World Cup.
Do you remember when Carl Lewis sang the national anthem?
Mm-hmm.
And that guy came up. What was the guy's name who came on and couldn't keep a straight face? He was cracking up trying to, like, talk about Carl Lewis and the anthem. It was the old Yankee guy with the beard. I can't remember what his name was.
Charlie Steiner.
Charlie Steiner. And Jack Edwards was the other anchor in that clip.
And the Rockets!
Call him Francis Scott off-key. But, yeah, that was Jack Edwards sitting next to him for that one. That was that's like an iconic ESPN moment, I think.
So Jack was just sitting there for that.
Well, he was there for it.
Yeah, right? He was there. He was present.
The highlight of his career.
Trivia question. He's the other guy.
The joke is Charlie Steiner, but right. Jack was there for it. Look, I would say that's sad news. And on the heels of all the other broadcasting movement.
I know.
And again, say what you want about Jack, but, like, when we're talking about what we were talking about earlier with Sterling, this is what Bradfoe said. I thought it was a good point. The uniqueness of a broadcaster. I mean, Jack was plenty unique. And so, you know,
that can be very polarizing, but at least it's not boring.
Yeah, 100%. So, yeah, who's in the mix for the gig there? That'd be interesting. 617-779-7937.
For the land of the free.
Yeah, don't go for that note.
Written by Francis Scott off key.
Boom.
Those were last night's lowlights. They were last night's highlights.
Is he pretending like he came up with that on the spot and it wasn't written on a teleprompter? Is he really doing that?
No, I think he was trying to get the line out and he was laughing too hard.
I see. There you go. I was going to say, don't pretend like you came up with that offhand, Charlie Steiner. But Jack Edwards was, you couldn't hear him, but he was sitting there for that?
I think you could hear him laughing a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, it was him laughing.
Yeah. Got it. Okay. Fair enough. You can weigh in with your reaction on Jack Edwards. We'll get to some of these Tatum crunch time numbers as well. We'll circle back on the Celtics and why history is working against them. We also have Megsplaining with Megan Onalini coming up. What is in store, Mego?
Are you guys music festival people?
No.
I think I know the answer. Arcan?
I was at one point.
Oh, my God.
I definitely
okay.
was.
We're going to dive into the world of music festivals on the heels of week one of Coachella. That was an absolute crap show disaster.
Ooh. I know one act that was in attendance.
we've got some fun sound clips here.
Okay, well we'll get to that coming up right after Trending with Arcan.
J Jones and Mego. Civil discourse only.
That's the stupid. You're stupid. Shut up.
It's Jones and Mego with Arcan on WEEI.
When I push back on the, they should glide through the East.
Yes.
Should.
Yes.
But I still have questions.
Yes.
You do too.
I, without question, I was asked earlier, who do I see beating them? And it's like, or who's the biggest threat? Like anybody. Look at Miami did it last year. You could make the argument that the Boston Celtics have had the most talented team for the last 3 years running. And there is no question that that's the case this year.
Yeah, this year's no question.
No question. And yet, do we believe in them in the postseason? And why, for the last 2 years, haven't they been able to get it done? And have, most important, have they solved the issue that kept them from winning it the previous 2 years? Does Drew Holiday solve that issue? I don't think he does. Does Kristaps Porzingis solve that issue? I don't think he does, because it's still going to be with a game on the line, and more often than not in the playoffs, it comes down to this one possession at the end of the game. Who's going to win it for me?
Rick Bucher on with Colin Cowherd yesterday. He'd go on to say that he trusts guys like Jalen Brunson more with the game on the line than Jason Tatum. Mego has some numbers on that. That'll back it up. But again, to reiterate, the last team to have the best record in the NBA and go on to win the title, the Golden State Warriors, in 2017. Since then, six teams have tried and failed, including the 65-win Rockets, the 64-win Suns. There was a Milwaukee team that won 60-plus games in there. Celtics are trying to break that streak. Will they be the team to do it? You can jump in here on Jones and Mego with Arcan on WEEI. We also passed along the news, not like we broke it or anything, but the news came out earlier this hour. Jack Edwards will be doing his final games with the Boston Bruins. Regular season game tonight against Ottawa, and then Nesson has the first round matchup. And then it'll be Jack Edwards' final call on Nesson for the Bruins. And so that's on the heels of Mike Gorman, who will be also calling the first round action on NBC Boston. But he had Mike Gorman Day over the weekend. And throw in Sterling, Vern Lundquist on top of it. That's a lot of change. And something that viewers are going to get used to, which I would imagine there's going to be a lot of uniformity in the replacements. And we've already started to see some of that, I think, in replacing Mike Gorman. So you can jump in on all of it. We have Megsplaining coming up about 5 minutes from now at 5:30. Mego, what do you have for crunch time numbers on Jason Tatum that back up some of what Bucher's talking about?
So these are clutch stats, and the simplest way to explain them is that these are situations in which there are 2 minutes or less left in an NBA game, and the score is two scores or closer in NBA games. And so in these stats, Jason Tatum comes up with his effective field goal percentage at 24%.
Guys, a question. Why do we do effective field goal and not just field goal percentage? Just out of
curiosity. Because it's like the ability to get to the line, you know, because some people will go, oh, well, Tatum's just trying to pick up fouls. So it's the ability to get to the line, shoot free throws, the ability to score in the two-point range and from behind the arc. So it just is collectively all of that. It's just kind of like the easiest way to demonstrate how effective you are in the final minutes.
Because I'll be honest, I missed the first go-round. I missed that. I was reacting like it was actual field goal percentage, and somebody sent me a note on that. I didn't realize this was effective field goal, but keep going.
Yeah, so EFG percentage. So Tatum's is 24%. Including 19 opportunities where it's 2 minutes or less in the game and it's two scores or closer. So 19 opportunities, 24%. When you compare him to his peers around the league, one of the names that just came up in that clip is Jalen Brunson. He's 48% across 20 opportunities. So he actually had more opportunities, and his clutch percentage, his EFG is twice as much as Tatum's.
Yeah, more opportunities and more efficient.
You keep going down, Jamal Murray, he's got only 8 opportunities, but 69%. Nice. SGA has 15 opportunities, and this is all just this season, 57%. So really, really good.
SGAs are all layups, though, I'd imagine. They're all from like a foot
Either way, he's making it happen. Anthony Edwards from Minnesota, 15 opportunities as well, 50%. All of these guys are at least twice as clutch in this area of the game, in these closing minutes of close games, compared to Tatum. And I think that that's something that you can't ignore about this year. It's very real. The numbers bear it out. These aren't cherry picking stats. These are the real stats from these opportunities.
Yeah. And again, I'll say this for like the 10th time today. You know it if you're watching. If you're watching, those numbers match what it looks like with Tatum in crunch time, which to me, those are the best kind of numbers. They're not the numbers where you go, wait a minute, I felt a certain way watching it, but these numbers don't exactly align, because you can play around with numbers, you can play around with metrics, or sometimes your mind will play tricks on you when you're watching stuff. But you're watching Tatum and you're like, he's not good in these spots, and those numbers underscore it. Should we trust guys like Jalen Brunson and other players around the NBA or the Eastern Conference playoffs more than Tatum?
Yeah, I think you should. I mean, it's not like we're talking about a guy who year after year after year makes all these big shots and is always someone that, you know, demands the ball and he's had good games, obviously. And against Philly, he had that great fourth quarter. But we're talking about these situations, Mago, that you're specifying here. That's not something that I look at Jason Tatum and feel good about. And I don't think the team does either, quite frankly. I think that, you know, what happened last year was Tatum was making these reads, and that's usually what happens. It's not like Mazzulla draws up a bunch of plays. He gives them the ball. He doesn't want the other team to reset their defense, so they just sort of play. And Tatum now, without Marcus Smart to kick it to, which is sort of ridiculous because I think that was always a mistake to kick it out to Marcus Smart. You have actual good guys to kick it out to now, and he's taking all the shots and bricking them. So, I mean, it's not a good situation. I would have liked to have seen, like, in that Sacramento game, for example, when they sat all the starters in the fourth quarter and that came down to the wire. I would have liked to see Tatum out there just because you have it all cinched up right now. It'd probably be really good for him to see one of those shots go through the basket at this point, and he still doesn't have one, really, to hang his hat on, other than that Detroit one you keep mentioning, Jones, where the ball didn't even go through the basket. Nope. It was a goaltend. So it's like, you know, like, there's really nothing for him to feel good about. There's no going into the playoffs. He's got to have a very low sort of momentum state right now. There's just no way to feel good about it.
Yeah, and by the way, this reminds me, talking about Brunson, we got a tweet earlier in the show at Jones WEEI. This is from Lance. Jones, we'll see how a smaller guard like Brunson does in the postseason. Those guys usually struggle in the playoffs. We've seen Brunson in the playoffs. He was awesome last year against Miami. They lost, but he had 41 in an elimination game. I think he averaged 28 in the postseason last year over two series for the New York Knicks. That's as the lead guy. The year before in the postseason, he had some good games for Dallas. I mean, they went on a run to the Western Conference Final. He had a 40-point game, 41, in the first round against Utah. He averaged 19 in the second round when they upset Phoenix. And then he wasn't as good against Golden State, did score 31 in one of those games. He's been a good postseason player. So we've seen Brunson in the postseason, and last year we saw him as the lead guy. I do trust him. And here's the problem. This is the real issue, because I think people talk about the Celtics in crunch time backwards. They're like, well, Mazzulla should tell Tatum to do this, or Jalen Brown should want the ball, or Kristaps Porzingis needs to demand the ball. That's not how it works. If Tatum wants the ball, Tatum's going to get the ball. That tends to be, whether you like it or not, how it is at the end of these games. Who's his idol again, Mego?
Kobe.
What did Kobe do at the end of the game? Did he pass or did he take the shot?
Take the shot.
On balance, he took the shot. I'm sure there are examples you can throw in my face. But Kobe had the ball. Kobe was taking the shot. If Tatum wants that shot, I think the organization will let him take it. And that means Stevens, that means Mazzulla, that means his teammates. Tatum has to be on board with other people taking the final shot. And I don't think he is, because every time they have a chance at the end of games, he's the one with the ball in his hands taking the shot.
But, and John Tomasi wrote about this, like, maybe a month and a half ago, so I want to credit him. I also think some of it is the shot selection. Like, yeah, there's very easy cases. Atlanta is the one just on March 28th where you could point to, and that was a wide-open three-point shot that he could have won instead of sending it into overtime where they ultimately lost that buzzer beater. Like, that was a good shot, but a lot of his shots are these fadeaway, yep, jumpers, these turnaround fadeaway three-point attempts. And it's just like, what is this?
No.
You know, you have to know that the shot selection can be better than this. It's not even about deferring, but about using, I don't know, your basketball IQ to be able to select and put yourself in the best matchups.
Yeah, don't take 15 dribbles and settle for a fall away. And I just mocked SGA for all of his end-of-game shots being at the rim, but at least he's putting the ball on the floor, putting his head down, and going to the rim. You can draw contact. It's an easier shot. And so, you know, I don't mean to completely take down what Gildas Alexander is doing there. But, yeah, I think Tatum has poor shot selection there as well. The whole building knows what he's going to do. He's going to dribble, 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 and then fade away. And it's part of why he's so poor at it. So you can jump in on all this. Rich Keefe, standing by at the top of the hour for a brief sprint up to the Red Sox and the Guardians tonight here on WEEI. Meantime, we got Megsplaining with Megan Onilini.
Why don't you explain this to me like I am an 8-year-old?
Do you need it broken down?
It's so dumb.
Why don't you explain this to me like I'm 5?
Well, lucky for you.
I don't know how else to talk about it.
Shut up, Meg.
It's time for...
Now I let you know!
Megsplaining.
Megsplaining.
Jones, I know your answer to this, so I'm going to start with Arcan. Arcan, have you ever been to Coachella?
No, not Coachella. I've been to other smaller music festivals.
Have you
never
ever
Coachella.
Tried to go to Coachella?
No.
Yeah, I never really had any desire
I'm not
to
a 25-year-old Instagram model, so no. That's why I've not gone to Coachella.
I mean, I think that there's like
have
a
you gone to any music
wide
festivals?
Range. The only, I don't think it even counts. I went to the Boston Calling one back when it was still at City Hall.
That counts.
I also,
that's a festival.
I understand what Mego's saying.
It's not a real festival.
It's not like a multi-day.
I took an Uber from my apartment, and then I like went to my friend's
apartment.
Boston
Calling's multi-day.
No, but I don't think it was then when it was when it was a government center.
Yeah, I think it might have still been 2 days.
Okay, well then I take that back. But like you're right on the line. I know what you're saying. Where that's
it's not like Bonnaroo or like
where you're staying in a tent at Bonnaroo or you're staying in a house at Coachella.
Other level that we're gonna get to. I wanted to talk about Coachella because first of all, like, I'm so out of it. I don't even know who some of these acts are. But, like, I could not name a Grimes song. All I know is she used to be with the Twitter guy,
that's
right?
She couldn't play a song.
That's all anybody knows. She was with Musk. Yeah, that's it.
She was with Elon Musk.
Does anybody else know anything else about Grimes?
Baby Mama, I think, right?
Yeah.
So is she a DJ? What is her act? Does she sing?
I'm telling you, I don't. She was married or dated Musk. That's all I know. I don't know anything else about her.
I probably sound like a dinosaur. I have no idea. But what I can tell you is whatever she was trying to do at Coachella, she was not able to do. And she was blaming it on technical difficulties. So, Ryan, can we get the cut of Grimes? Apparently, her tracks were all sped up, is what she was saying. And she kept blaming it on her inability to do math in real time, which I do sympathize with. But I don't really understand how it relates to her performing in front of this giant, giant audience at the Coachella Music Festival.
I am going to handle this. All right. Let's try this again. Y'all, don't judge me for being bad at calculating things.
Okay.
No, we will.
How about being bad at music?
Hello?
Yeah.
Is this thing on?
Y'all, being bad at math is not a sin. What the f***? That was actually me.
So
I'm being told by the Twitch chat that her song Oblivion is a banger is what I'm being told.
I probably I would know it if I heard it, but I definitely don't know what that sounds like off the top of my head. I'm going to give myself the benefit of the doubt that I would know it if I heard it, but I definitely don't know it. Apparently that went on for 10 minutes and it wasn't even the worst thing that happened there. Did you guys hear about the Blur performance?
No. I did. I saw the video of it.
Okay. So you all know the band Blur because they have the song. Mm-hmm. That's what we know.
Yeah. The guy from Gorillaz. Yeah.
Okay, so they were performing at Coachella, and apparently the crowd was extremely not into it to the point that they were holding the microphone out and trying to be like, hey, sing back, and it was just silent.
No one knew the words. Nothing. But, I mean, Blur is kind of an old band to be playing at Coachella, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think these kids are going to know all the words to Blur? I don't know.
They were old when I was in my early 20s.
Is Blur any older than Will Smith? Will Smith was there.
Will Smith was there?
Yeah. I assumed
he came out and did Men in Black.
No. I assume this is what we were talking about. We were talking about Coachella. I assume we were talking about Will Smith playing Coachella.
Will Smith's songs are a little more easy to sing along to than Blur's.
They definitely have more of an ironic shelf life.
Okay, but we're talking about something different then. You just said old. I mean, Blur's no older than Will Smith, I don't think.
Okay, so this is how the end of the Blur set went.
One Blur song. I don't know this.
I like this one. You'll never sing again, so you might as well
sing it. He said, you'll never see us again, so you might as well effing sing along.
Play Clint Eastwood!
Not very happy.
If you play some Gorillaz songs, I would know. I think I know one Blur song. I think I only know the one. Song. What's it called? Song
you
number
do.
Two or something like that?
Yeah, Yoo-Hoo is what I call it. Or Woo-Hoo, whatever it is. The Hoo-Hoo song.
Now you sound like a dinosaur.
I think I only know three Gorillaz songs.
I probably know more than
another one with Del.
The Blur song.
That's a good one.
Anyway, Arcan.
You already just did there?
This is not a segment.
You already just did?
Blur.
I know the song with Del.
Yeah.
Del.
No. It sounds awful.
Hip hop.
Like, turn it off. Ugh. My ears are bleeding. Okay, so Arcan, what festivals have you gone to? Because, again, like I said, I don't think I've ever been to a real one, and I never have had a desire to be like, oh, my God, I got to get my tickets for that festival weekend. That's going to be so awesome.
Okay, I've been to the Rock the Bells Festival, which was sort of this, like, touring thing, and it was, like, 06 or 07, and I saw them at Red Rocks, which was great.
Who was who was it?
That was, like, a big rap tour. No, it was, like, Wu-Tang, Nas and Damian Marley, the guys from
Del
was not there, unfortunately. That would have been cool if he was.
The Funky Homo Sapien wasn't there.
The Funky Homo Sapien was not there. It was not his tour. But, yeah, I was at that one. I was at a couple of, like, smaller tours. I don't know if they count as, like, festivals. But, like, in high school, I went to Smoking Grooves.
Oh, I went to Warped Tour for a couple years.
Yeah, I went to Warped Tour 1 year. I went to the River Rave 1 year.
Is that a music festival?
Yes, Warped Tour is a music festival.
But it's not. I guess I thought a music festival, first of all. I did that when I was, like, 15. But I think that I thought that
that's
you kind of had
20 plus years ago. Yeah.
You had to stay overnight for it to be like a proper music festival. Like it has to be a multi-day thing. Warped Tour is just one day.
I don't know
when
don't
it
know.
Existed.
I gotta be honest. I
River Rave was just one day.
I've
too.
Never been
River
to anything.
River Rave count as a festival?
I would count all if you tour with like 18
yeah, it's
bands.
Multi, it's really about the amount.
It's
of
a, that's
hats,
a
right?
festival.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
I think
it's
that makes
how
it more
many
of a festival. Yeah.
Okay, which one sounds worse to you? Because these are the two out of all of them. I mean, I think there's a lot of electric, like house music ones that sound like a nightmare to me because I don't like drugs. These two sound like Liar. The worst to me, though, because you know everyone there smells so bad, and I think you have to camp at both of them.
Okay.
Bonnaroo. Uh-huh. And do you guys know what Weekender at the Gorge is?
No.
Weekender at the
Gorge. I know
the
what the Gorge is, but I don't know this thing.
Is the Gorge is in Washington State.
Yeah.
And Weekender is when the biggest Dave Matthews Band fans in the entire U.S. all descend at the end of summer on the Gorge.
Oh, you think that
and they camp
bad?
Out there. And they
so
just,
is this a Dave Matthews festival?
It's a Dave Matthews Band festival that goes on all weekend. And they do it every year.
The Gorge is where you throw your empty cans when you're done with them, I thought.
What?
That was a good joke.
Bonnaroo is not like a hippie thing. Like Kanye West played at Bonnaroo.
I was going to say,
well,
doesn't
Kanye West played everywhere, but
right,
Bonnaroo
but I'm saying it's
is
not like a hippie,
yeah,
a hippie
you
weekend.
You camp there, though.
Okay, but,
you camp there, yeah. But
could I be, depending on...
You're making
on,
it seem like it was a bunch of smelly hippies.
Yeah, like to
I
me...
I think it is pretty smelly if you're camping there.
I mean, I guess. It's like a, you know... I don't think any... These are all very commercialized now. I mean, I'm sure Bonnaroo, you know...
I go to Bonnaroo if I could get, like, an RV.
Yeah, I mean,
like
to me...
Like a sick RV.
To me, if I would be dragged to any music festival...
Then
the
you're
only,
not even camping.
Yeah, whatever.
The only stipulation would be... No, Arcan loves RVs. We've covered this.
Love RVs.
Oh, yeah.
The only stipulation would be who the acts are. Like, do I want to see the acts? That'd be my only stipulation. But I wouldn't... I you couldn't drag me out of the house
but
to go to any of this.
Most of these, as you said, like, a lot of them are very commercialized, so it's... It's going to be a broad range of acts, and I feel like even the best ones, it'll end up being 25%, 30% acts that I'd want to see, and the rest of it just me being pissed off that I'm stuck camping somewhere. I don't like camping.
Twitch chat is saying, Arcan, you're wrong. It is a hippie show now.
Bonnaroo's a hippie show now?
I think it's been a hippie show for a while. I know Kanye West played like all of these. He played Coachella a while ago. Mm-hmm. But I think Bonnaroo is the one that's supposed to be the most hippie-ish.
That may be now. I remember when I had friends who used to go to Bonnaroo, I remember there was like cool acts there. So I don't know. Maybe it's different now.
I mean, you can be hippie-ish and have cool acts.
I guess, yeah, but...
So what music festival do you want to go to?
Yeah, I don't
want
to go to any, but okay. I'm just like completely
but there are
confounded
some that you're especially
by,
out on.
What's
the one
know,
in Marshfield? Like, that one's pretty good. What the hell is
one
it
in Marshfield?
Yeah, there's a festival in Marshfield every year.
Do you know how much Coachella costs?
Oh,
just
I,
the tickets
I have,
alone?
I have no idea.
$1,000.
$599 for general admission.
Okay.
And then if you want anything above that, it starts at
$1,000. Yeah, so if you want to use, like, outhouses with, you know, people crapping everywhere, it's $599. But
exactly.
if you want, like, actual, like, real access, you're paying upwards of thousands of dollars to go to Coachella. Never mind for a house and everything else. This is for a ticket.
Would you rather, if you had to, be at Coachella or be at the Burning Man?
Coachella. Definitely.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, not even close. Burning Man?
Burning Man scares me a
lot. That sounds...
Now, that's smelly. Burning
Man.
Oh,
yeah.
Burning Man, that's a smelly desert nightmare, I would say. I would much rather go to Coachella just on the strength of the Instagram
models. Aren't they doing, like, stupid art and stuff at Burning Man? Like, no chance
Burning
am I going
Man
to that.
Burning Man is they, like, establish their own money system.
Yeah, that sounds awful. That's
Burning
no,
Man,
no chance. That's,
Man,
the,
like,
that's the worst one. How is that not on your list for worst ones?
Well, it's not a music festival. It's like a,
is
it's
it not?
A weird festival.
People got stuck at Burning Man last summer.
Yeah,
so I
they
think
got
I'd
trout foot.
Yeah, because of the mud. They
or trench
get out.
Foot is
yeah.
what it's called. Trench foot. Have you ever heard of that?
I've heard of trench foot, yeah.
And trench mouth?
Trench mouth I've not heard
my
of.
Friend,
is that a real thing?
Yeah,
it's
how George Washington died. He got like a big ulcer in his throat.
That's,
and
why,
my,
that's why he had wooden teeth.
We've
my
really
friend got
all,
one from a fish festival.
Today.
My friend went to a fish festival and he got trench mouth and he had to go to the hospital and they had to like sever a boil in his throat and they said this is how George Washington died.
Ooh.
What, are you looking it up?
No, I'm just
the trench Anastasio
like a,
mouth.
Having a something in your throat popped just sounds like a terrible time.
Yeah, and a lot of stuff came out of it. And
I
that's
bet.
What you get for going to music festivals. That's that's the lesson from Meg Swaining.
The festival in Marshfield, by the way, is called Levitate, and Sublime is playing it this year.
Mm. But not really.
It's
yeah.
Sublime
really
with the kid, with the
Sublime.
Son. It's the son of the guy who died. Yeah.
Oh, that's more
Bradley's,
interesting.
Bradley's son.
Bradley
he just
Noel
played at Coachella, too, I think.
They're not doing Sublime with Romy Gonzalez anymore?
No, Romy.
Yeah, I see. I thought, so it's his kid that's now touring with Sublime?
Yes.
I didn't know
How
that.
Old is his kid?
I do not know.
I'd like to see Foo Fighters with
Taylor Hall.
Yeah, Taylor yeah. Hall's son. That's quite inspiring.
Taylor Hall?
What's his name?
Taylor Hall's son is in the Foo Fighters now? That's amazing.
Sorry.
I don't
want to
play
out.
Hockey, Dad.
But also, yeah. Taylor Hall's
I love
very...
I the music, Dad.
I'd imagine
yeah,
his...
Dad, you choke all the time in the playoffs. I don't want that kind of pressure, Dad.
I'd imagine his son is very young to be playing the drums, if he had one.
All right, there you go. Burning Man sounds like that's my nightmare. Bartering for things and people doing... stupid naked art everywhere. That sounds terrible.
Are we all going to Levitate? Do we just agree? Go check out Sublime. Down in Marshfield.
I'm only going,
I got family. I got come family on, I got family on the
going,
South Shore.
I'm only going if Jones wears a skimpy outfit where he has those bosoms out.
All right. And we're renting an RV.
Yeah, Burning Man, those things would be out and about. Anyway. That's,
got a little crocheted bikini top on.
I got
on.
Your barter system right here. Unzips.
You guys like the party or what?
All right, that's Meg's playing with Megan Hoffelini.
Sure was.
We'll wrap things up with Bet Roulette. Some picks for tonight next.
That's weird, right? It's weird.
Yes.
I'm just embracing it.
Jones and Mego. Nah, you're right. It's weird.
It seemed to be a struggle to generate any kind of offense tonight. Can you pinpoint what the problem is?
Well, I think the word struggle is a compliment, the way we played tonight. I thought Washington, you know, their desperation, how well they defended, how well they hung on the pucks in the offensive zone is the way we wanted to play.
How do you look at this in terms of you want to be playoff ready, you want to get to that point, and does this feel like a setback? How do you evaluate it?
I'm not going to put too much into it, to be honest. We didn't play well. You know, yeah, we start Saturday. We've had a real good string of games against real good teams. Mm-hmm. So I think our team is a confident team that, you know, we didn't give our best effort tonight.
Blur doesn't have more than just this song. I'm pretty convinced, right? It's a good tune, though. I don't know how you stretch this out over a festival. You just play this over and over again? I think I told you this before, Arkan.
Whenever the crowd like starts to die out, just woo!
Yeah, that's just do that over and over again. So I saw I had a buddy who went to Cornell. And they do a big event. It's on the final day of classes. I came to learn. I didn't know this when I was going there.
Mm-hmm.
But on the final day of classes, all the dorks up there they have their big party. It's called Slope Day, and they have massive acts. Okay, like Snoop Dogg was there one year, so they have big acts. And we saw, I think the year that I saw Snoop Dogg there, the game was also a part of that.
Okay.
But he hadn't, his new album had just come out. He played the same song over and over and over. He played it like three different times.
Really?
What was his big song?
Hater to Love It. Was it that era?
I think it was before. Well, it was This Is How We Do or whatever. That
oh,
song.
Yeah, it is.
I think
is
he did that like three different songs. He just kept saying
him and 50 Cent.
Number one song in America. He just kept doing that over and over again, and he just kept playing the same song. That's what Blur should do. Just be like, oh, this is our song.
Yeah.
Whenever it peters out a little bit, just go back to the hits. The hit.
One time, I mean, that's what we do on our show.
Yeah, exactly. Play the hits.
It is the same thing.
Yeah.
I saw the game once in Boulder, and he was drinking out of a big Grey Goose bottle, and he got sick and had to cut the show short. Yeah. It's the altitude.
He threw up?
He went backstage and threw up.
That's a better story. Mm-hmm. That's a better story than just hearing
we all went home three
different times. He just kept going back to the scene.
We heard like four different songs.
That's pretty good. I think we all went home. Maybe out of like 10 songs, I heard the same song three times. Now, I'm going to tell you, I was pretty into it, but what are you going to do? Anyway, so that was the Bruins last night. Brandon Carlo is not playing tonight. Apparently, he's on track for game one. I just saw Fluto tweet that out. If you're just tuning in, Jack Edwards will be doing his final regular season game tonight on Nesson. He'll continue calling the Bruins through the first round of the postseason, however far they make it in that series, win or lose. And then Jack Edwards will retire, just like Mike Gorman is doing something similar with the Celtics. John Sterling yesterday. So a sea change in broadcasting. Vern Lundquist over the weekend as well. 617-779-7937. You can jump in line for Rich Keefe. He comes your way for a brief sprint up to the Red Sox and the Guardians tonight on WEEI. But let's get to some picks in Bet Roulette.
All right, I'm going to give you a choice. You can either have the money and the hammer, or you can walk out of here. You can't have both. You don't f*** around in this place. You got it?
Boo! Boo! That's it! Gambling!
Bet Roulette brought to you by Cars for Kids. Easy way to donate your car. You can donate today. Your car will be picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com or 1-877-CARS-4-KIDS. Now, we did a run line parlay last night.
Mm.
I'm pretty positive it didn't hit because mine didn't hit. Did any of us hit?
I don't even remember.
Mego did.
Mego did hit.
Of course I did.
I don't even remember it. Oh, yeah. Mego was on the Orioles. Mego did hit. Who were you on, Ryan?
I had the Giants over the Marlins. They won, but they only won by one run. Your Phillies needed extra innings.
Oh, no, you're right. Nola didn't get the win, but Philly won in extra innings. You're right.
The Rockies.
Okay. So, unfortunately, we didn't hit last night. Mega, why don't you roll here for tonight?
Woohoo!
It's a six.
Okay, rolled a six.
A six, all right. That is the play-in tournament tonight. The later game, the Warriors and the Kings in Sacramento. And the Warriors are 3-point road favorites, Mega.
Ooh. Ryan, have you watched a lot of Kings this season?
I have, yes.
You love them.
I do, but I don't love this group.
Okay, you know what? Give me something a little interesting, which to me would be the Warriors. I know it has not been a banner season for the Warriors, but I like them. I like them. 3-point favorites on the road. Give me Warriors.
Okay. That feels like a good pick, by the way. So Mego's got the Warriors by three. I also rolled a six. My second roll was a three, Arkin.
A three. All right. That's the Senators and the Bruins. Senators, we'll go puck line here, plus 1.5 as the Bruins look to, I don't know what they're looking to do tonight. So you bet accordingly, Jones.
Yeah.
What you think the Bruins are trying to do with a 1.5-point favorite on the Ottawa Senators?
I'm going to take the Bruins tonight. Because in part, I don't think
by more than one goal.
Yeah, I don't think they were trying to lose last night. And so I think everybody who's like, oh, this is a good thing that they lost. Arkan, you're one of them. It's a good thing they lost. I don't think they did it on purpose. And so I think they're still going to get Tampa in round one. They're going to win tonight and screw it all up. So give me the Bruins by a goal and a half.
All right.
Terrible.
It was also a six. All right. Let's do a roll again.
We were talking about yesterday how it's nice to not have to sit here through your...
Sit here while you try to make baskets with
our balls. Nice. Yeah.
Okay, great. Number two, that is over-under on the Red Sox and the Guardians tonight. It's the over-under of 8.5. You got a couple of pretty good pitchers here, Whitlock and Bybee for Cleveland. So I'm going to go under 8.5 and say that they don't have score a lot of runs
over.
Tonight.
What
over.
A hater.
Hammer the over.
This is going to be a,
nice
this gonna be a juicy one. This is going to be a juicy one because I got the puck line. That always juices these things up. Mm. We got Golden State by three, Bruins by two, under 8.5 runs tonight at Fenway. What do we got, Ryan?
Plus 670.
Okay.
Not that juicy.
I thought it would be higher, but okay. Plus 670 if you want to follow along.
That's juicy.
Yeah, we had that one.
The one we did yesterday.
Oh, is that what it was? Yeah, you might have missed it. We were a plus 1,000 yesterday.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was great.
Mine was bigger.
I like that.
Exciting.
That'll do it for us. We'll talk to you tomorrow from Fenway Park, taking you up to the Red Sox and Guardians Game 3. Game 2 is tonight. Rich Keefe will get you ready for it. You can dial him up, 617-779-7937. We'll talk to you tomorrow on WEEI.
That's the pumpkin market. I don't know this song.
And the card inside would say, thank you for being a friend.
He probably threw it in that box that's in the Jock Lounge with all the free T-shirts.
In fairness, I was drinking a lot around my birthday and Christmas. You remember?
Yeah, we know.
You know, I was partying that month. So
you weren't working a lot.
It's a full month of partying
that month.